Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. I want to thank first all of my listeners from north to south, east to west, and everyone in those 33 countries around the globe that support us, sister. I appreciate you. And we got a great show tonight with our guest, Sherry Fernandez. We're going to talk about life mastery. But before we bring her on, I want to say hello to my co-host, Chris. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm back.
All right. I missed you.
Missed you, too.
Yes. And without further ado, I want everybody to think that this Friday is my birthday, so send us some good energy so I can have it for the whole weekend. And with that being said, I'm not going to waste too much time. I'm going to bring on my guest, Sherry, and she is going to show us how our personal growth and success has to do with us, what we do and how we do it. So without further ado, hello, Sherry.
Hello, Terry. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, well, we appreciate you because, you know, on a weekend and you give us some of your time, we definitely appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So tell us something about yourself, darling. How did you go from, we all go through knocks in our life, you know, that's just a given. What made you go from what you went through being you to deciding to help the rest of us out by putting in a book about life mastery and how we get our stuff under control?
Well, you know, I had a little, like a lot of people, tumultuous childhood, which didn't really, I don't think, hurt me too much, but I just had a little bit of an idea somewhere when I was young and wandering around the streets of a little town that I grew up in for a while my parents were divorced. I got the idea that I was just somebody special. I didn't know what that meant. But I thought, oh, the world's got something really great for me, or God's got something really great for me. I had no idea what great people would look like. I was only nine. But when I don't know where it came from for sure or how it happened. We were my mother had left my dad. She had no means to really take care of us. So we were kind of ragamuffins. I was only like 8, 9 years old, wandering around town. I'm thinking I'm going to be some great lady wearing evening dresses to dinner and, I don't know, living in penthouses or something like that. I don't know what I thought it would look like, but I just thought I was going to do great. I didn't know what it would look like, but I was going to do great things. Then there's a little bit of stability in my teenage years. I graduated at 17, and then I just went wild. I just was partying and lots of alcohol and a little drugs, and it was just it was the early 70s, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and I was just immersed in it. I know, I get a lot of my hosts are like, oh, yeah, I've been there. but then I did an abrupt turn. I had a baby, and I just loved her like everything, you know, and then I fell in love with a guy, different, you know, and I decided I wanted something different, and my husband, too, and we just got married, left that lifestyle, period, and settled down. But we had no money because we partied away everything in our years that we would have gone to college. We're now in our early 20s, right? And so we got nothing, and we're working like Kim's working two jobs. I'm taking in kids, and we have another baby. Eventually, we had 6 babies, but all together. But we just were so poor. I can't even tell you. We were just like, we worked so hard, and we could hardly even feed ourselves. But somewhere in there, I thought, I want things in life. I thought that feeling being special came back to me. I said, the world's got something really great for me. I just have to figure out how to get it. And I wanted everything. Like I wanted a rockin' hot body and still have my babies. And I wanted no ceiling on my finances. And I wanted to be smart. I wanted to be well-educated. Not like a degree, but I wanted to be smart, you know, and have lots of education. And just, there's a lot of things I wanted to know. And so there's just all these different things I really wanted. And I know over and over in my head over those years, I said, I know you can have it all. When I doubt, I'd say, I believe you can have it all. So I just went to work to figure out how you got it all. And I wanted to do it right. I wanted to do it the way other successful people had done it. So I started studying the lives of other successful people and listening to what they had to say. And then I started doing those things in practice. And We set a goal to be worth $1 million when we were 40, and we did that. And we had, again, we had another four more kids. We had six kids total. So we did all of this while we're having kids, you know, and raising a family. We're family people. And I got that body that I kept. I was able to maintain that body that I wanted and have the finances and have the education. And once I started to put those things in place and people recognized what I had done, I started getting invitations to speak, and then I started teaching more and more, and I started coaching, and that brings me to my book and to our interview today.
Mm. Wow. Well, you know, I like what you said. You said that you thought that you wanted to find out how people who were wealthy, how they was making it, and that's something that I always wanted you to do. I always wanted to be around wealthy people, not to be a beggar, because I wanted to find the knowledge that they had that will help me do what I needed to do to be where they at. Because you see, some people, they want to be around wealthy people just so they can be a hang around and be begging for this and that. No, share the knowledge. Show me how you did it so I can do it for myself. You know, whether it's a stock tip or whether I should be doing this or be doing that, you know, because I agree with you. A lot of times people don't have nothing because they don't have the right people around them to show them how to get anything. So mentoring people and being in the right place at the right time can make a big difference in your life. But before I go further, I'm going to let Chris ask his question because he just came back off a camping trip and he's dying to ask his question. So I'm going to let him ask his question.
I must ask questions. Okay. All right. I was just playing along. My first question, Sherry, is what? How long did it take you to write this book? And my second, the follow up question to that is, has this book's response given you what you wanted?
The first part of the question is kind of a two part answer too. The book actually came. I'd never wanted to write a book, and I didn't really think that I was really had a talent in that, and I probably really don't, except that I was really inspired. The book actually came together really fast. It took me about 7 months to write it, but I didn't write that often, to be honest. I don't have that many. I was pretty steady, but we still traveled and did things. And I took a couple of sabbaticals and just took 2 or 3 days working on it here and there. But my husband always says it took you 40 years to actually write it. You had to live it first, and then you wrote it. And so that's why it didn't take me very long. I knew I knew my material. I knew my story. I had been teaching this for so long that it really just flowed out of me. So in 7 months, I was able to complete it. But I've been living it for 40 years. The other part of it, the response, people have been very, very responsive to it. Like, it was on the bestseller list in July on the Wall Street Journal and Amazon and USA Today. It was on those bestseller lists. It's still steady. And the people, you know, sometimes when people know you, they're like, they don't expect very much. And I've had so many people say, I bought your book to support you, but it really, really is good. So I've had some really, that's been really fine when people who know me have gone out of their way to say, and I don't take offense. They're like, kind of like, oh, I'm surprised this is good, you know, but I don't take offense to that because that's just how it is when you know somebody, right? So, it's been really well received. And my hosts have really loved it. Everybody's been very, very, very complimentary about it.
Awesome. Oh, great. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm glad, you know, but you know, like you said, some people, they say stuff like, I didn't think it was going to be this good, and all that. You know, some people, they just don't know what to say out their mouth. But what I want to know is, you say you have six.
Exactly.
Six children.
Yeah. I don't take it personal. You know, they don't know how it's coming out, you know, but I don't take it personal because I get it. You know,
exactly.
If I know somebody that wrote it for
me. That's all you want to say is that. You know, it made me think of trolls that be on the media site. But you say you got six children. Now, are those six kids reading your book to learn how to maintain and get the wealth that mom and dad got, or they're just watching how you do it by being inside the house?
You know, you're the first person to ask that question. There's a really good answer to that. My kids all know. I mean, we taught them as we went along. Plus, they watched us do it, right? Especially our older kids. So they all live. Now, you know, it's one thing to know it and something else to live it. So they're all at varying degrees. But they all practice a lot of the things that we do. They're all well-rounded. They're all in fitness, and they're doing their best to make their businesses and their enterprises come to pass and working on their relationships. Are they, mm-hmm. you know, there's some are six of them. They're all over the board, and they're 30 to 46 years old. So they're kind of all over the place, but they're all really solid, making it happen. They've learned, and they use some of the tools that I've taught them when they were growing up, and they get together and talk about what's on their big dreams list. So, yeah, they're living it the best they can.
I mean, they're not going to be running back home every time something goes wrong. You know, they can stay out and figure it out.
That we were not
they come right on back.
We were kind of the tough love parents. Yeah, you know what's right, you know, yeah. We let them live their lives, you know, and
right.
and don't interfere unless we feel like we're a safety net. We have one that's struggling a little and with some problems, still working and solid, but, you know, we're the safety net, but we don't bring them on home every time. We're like,
right.
They have to live their own lives, too, so they're great. Everyone
I was spectacular. I got one child. She did come back briefly when she got with this knucklehead guy, but after she got in there, man, I was motivating her to get the heck out. I even paid her first month rent. Boom, in the apartment. I said, no, because, you know, I just like mm-hmm. the quiet time. Once you out, you can just come back and visit, but you can't stay long.
Yeah. Well, you know, we didn't raise them to be dependent upon us forever anyway, did we? We raised them
right.
to get out there and do their own thing. So it's just a safe place if they need it, and otherwise, you know, we try not to interfere too much and just stay kind of close to them, because you're right. They're, you know, once they've gone, we don't want them back, and they don't want to come back either. They would only come back if they were really, really in trouble, which they really have not done. We haven't had any of them come back.
They don't want to follow your house rules. They think your house rules are antiquated, but they my rules, you know. So, I can be a butt sometimes, you know. Like, you know, every day, clean the kitchen up, wash the stuff up, put it away, mop the floor, because I don't want to do no bugs, you know. So I'm anal about some things, you know. But I like living clean, because you never know. Somebody call an ambulance and come in the house, and they look at your house, then they're going to judge that you trifling if your house looks trifling. I ain't that kind of person. So, you know, I like stuff to be neat. So that's why, you know, my grandson is getting on my last nerve, and I'm sure I'm getting on his, because I'm on him like a cheap suit, you know. My daughter didn't come back to briefly, but I got her child, so go figure. But, sorry, Chris got another question for you. I'm going to let him go here because I'm clamoring now.
All right. Well, Sherry, my next question is, you know, how can life mastering help us? You know, we're still in a pandemic, and I don't know if you wrote this before or during, but we're still in a pandemic. How can life mastering help us dealing with this pandemic?
That's such a good question, and it certainly can help, because this is my take on the pandemic thing. It's like any other adversity. They can sink us or give us opportunity to grow. And so staying focused on your goals, on the things you're trying to happen on you, on your own personal development, can keep you above all of the junk that's going on, like keep you out of the dialogue of who should get vaccinated or who should have a mask or who should, you know, whatever political platform you're on. All that stuff just gets in your way. So if you're working on you, which is really the answer to all the world's problems anyway, if everybody works on themselves, that's the solution to all of our world problems, right? So then that's the best thing you can do, even though not everybody's going to do that. Each one of us working on us and our personal development and enjoying the happiness that comes from that, that's the way you can make the world a better place. Gandhi said, I have to be the change I wish to see in the world. So if we're focused mm-hmm. on that, we're not going to get caught up in the pandemic. And the pandemics have come and gone. When this is over, there'll be some other thing. There'll be a war, or there'll be some other thing. Bad times are always going to come. So we need to not let it derail us. Make sure we're staying. We do us. I do me. I don't worry. I don't do a lot of news. I don't do a lot of other stuff. I don't want to get caught up in that, because I'm working on big stuff, you know, and I don't want to be brought down by the junk that's going on around me. And I feel like everybody, each person should be doing the same thing so they can be happy. When we get caught up in this, or we feel stagnant, or we feel like we're not progressing and I can't move forward, but for whatever reason, because I don't have the whatever reason, because there's a pandemic or any other reason, it feels unhappy. But you can still move forward personally. You just have to, what they say in the business world, you have to pivot. You might have to pivot a little. You might have to do things differently than you did before the pandemic. But if you sit around and wait for the pandemic to be over, thinking it's all going to go back to being the same, it's not going to go back to being the same. Things are going to change. So you just keep working on you, roll with the flow a little bit, and not let it derail your dreams. Stay working on that. Actually, COVID gives you not that that downtime gave a lot of us an opportunity to improve ourselves, right? You could if you were out of work for a year, you could have gotten a degree, online.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question. I heard you said that you became a millionaire. Was that from teaching?
No, that was business. So we made our money in different business enterprises. We had one major one that we sold a while back, a big one, and then we've got some other small business enterprises and property investments, but mostly property and business.
Okay, because once you make the money, you know, this is help for the people who make it in whatever business or decision that they make the money in. When it was time for you to get someone to handle your accounts and stuff, because I can only imagine that as your money grows and different obligations and be here and there, you got yourself being spread kind of thin. Is there any rule of thumb for a person to find a good accountant, someone who's not ripping somebody off, to handle those affairs for them so they have free time to do what they want to do?
Yes. Well, that's a really good question. Again, that's not a question anybody's ever asked me before, Terry, but I do handle a little bit of the book under the section on finances and money. But you need a team of people that you trust. You need a good accountant. You need a good financial investor. You might need a good real estate agent, those kind of professionals. And so you want to build a team of those people and have long-term relationships with them, right? So over the years and the decades, you continue to work with the same good team of people and let them do what they do best, because I can't be good at real estate and accounting and business and be a speaker and be a mom. You can't do everything. In fact, even if you could, nobody's that good at everything. So you want to find people that you trust that's really, really good at real estate and can find you the good deal, and somebody's really, really good at your taxes so they can get you the best tax rates, you know. And so you build that kind of – and then you can – and like you said, then you can move forward not worrying about those things. Too many – I do a lot of entrepreneurs, and too many of them want to do everything. And that's not – you do what you do best, and then you hire the people to do the other things. I have somebody clean my house. It's not even hardly dirty. But then since she cleans my house, I can spend time coaching other people, right? I can use that time to coach other people and make a difference. And she gets a chance to make some money. And so, yeah, you know, you want to have people, you want to make sure that you're not – my husband he's a really good handyman, and back early in the early years of our business, he quit doing some of the things around the house. He said, I make more money going to work. I can pay somebody to do this and still make more money if I go to work and do what I do and then let the plumber or the carpenter do what they do. I'll pay them, and I'm money ahead because I'm doing what I do best at work. And so that's kind of a philosophy that we have.
Yeah, you know, Sherry, a lot of people, they so worried about trying to micromanage everything. You know, they're missing out because they try to do it all, and they get frustrated, and then they've taken it out on other people, and they don't know how to just stop and breathe because they want their finger to be watching everything. We only got two eyes, so what makes you think you can see everything?
Right, yes, and that micromanaging, and again, entrepreneurs, business owners are particularly notorious for that. They want to micromanage things. There's a great book called The E-Myth, which is I really like. I recommend to people who are in business so they can recognize what they do and then find somebody. My husband is horrible with technology. He's never been good because he never had to do it because he had people that worked for him that he had to do that. But he was very good at identifying what his weaknesses were, and then hiring people who were really strong in that area. And to be really successful in business, you just have to do it that way. And then let them do their thing. They may not do it the way you want exactly, but you hire somebody and let them do what they do. And if they do it well, then They don't have to do it your way. They might have a better way. Think of it their thing, and that's what they do best, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Learn what it is that you do best and get help to do the other things. I'm going to take a little small song break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Freezer come back.
Yeah, you ready, Ron?
I don't know.
You ready, Ben?
I don't think so,
sir. Oh, let's do it anyway. Ladies.
Girl, I'm a
You get a hold of me at Sherry@lifemasteryinfo.com. I respond to all the emails that I get. You can buy the book on the website, but also on Amazon, of course, Life Mastery, Personal Progression Towards an Infinite Potential. That's on Amazon, and it's hardback, paperback, and ebook, and then the audiobook will be out in about a month. We'll have the audiobook for Life Mastery. So, yep, you can get a hold of me also on social media. Facebook, of course, and Instagram. Somebody else has my Instagram.
You, got my number. Like I said, I don't care what the topic. Call me and say, hey, Terry, let me just talk about this. I might want to talk about relationships. My guys don't get it. You know, I'm just making up stuff, but you know. Just call me and we'll make it work out. And thank you for being here. Thank you, Chris, for not hanging out in the woods and coming back. You know, to the city.
Thank you so much.
At the same time, we got something for you. Y'all have a safe weekend, and y'all. folks. Stay healthy.
Stay healthy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Chris. Bye, Sherry.
Bye, Sherry. Thank you. Bye, Chris.
All right, dear. Thank you. Bye-bye.